Welcome back in to the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. What if Pope Francis is just gay? What if he's a Skittle? Has anyone thought about that? I just think we're out of other options at this point. I do. I think we try to explain Pope Francis has been doing some really strange things and saying some like very strange things since 2013, March 13th, 2013. He's just been saying some really, really strange things. And we've tried to like explain it. We've tried to come up with like different answers. Like, why does Pope Francis say what he says? Why does he do what he do? And we try to like understand it. We've tried to be reasonable with him, right? At first, when he first started saying strange things, like just a couple months after he became Pope, he said, "Oh, about gay people, about Skittles. Like, who am I to judge? You're the Pope. You're the Pope. Like, who else is there to judge but you?" Like, and from there, it just got worse. And we tried to explain. Remember, we tried to say, "Oh, well, maybe it's bad. You know, it's bad translation, right? Maybe it's not being translated well. Maybe it's that." And then we try to say, "Oh, maybe he's just a Jesuit. He's just doing what Jesuits do. He's Jesuiting. He's just Jesuiting. Maybe it's that." All right. Then we said, "Oh, maybe he's not the Pope. Maybe he's anti-Pope." We start getting more and more extreme with our answers. The next one up was Antichrist. Maybe he's the Antichrist, the one spoken about in the Bible. We start looking at some very strange prophecies to try to explain this whole thing, right? People who are more charitable and patient, they say, "Oh, well, I mean, he means well. He's just accompanying sinners," right? Some people say he's just dumb, right? He's not much of a theologian. He's just dumb, right? He's from South America. Now, what if he's gay? What if he's just a Skittle? Right. I mean, I think that would explain a lot of things. And so that's where we're going to get into this show. Maybe Pope Francis is just gay, right? This is not a judgment thing, right? I'm not applying any judgment to this. Some people just have same-sex attraction, right? Some people just do. Or maybe some people just want to, right? No judgment is being applied here. I'm sure he's not the first gay pope. I'm probably sure of that, right? But listen, we need to get into this. Maybe the simplest answer, Occam's razor, is the most likely one, right? I'm not doing theology here. This is the David L. Gray Show, right? You know, I do have a graduate degree in theology from really good school. Not doing theology tonight. We're doing science. We're going to follow the science of Aristotle. Aristotle said, if you just look at a thing long enough, that thing will tell you what it is. Basic science. Observe a thing for a period of time, and that thing will tell you what it is. Go sit next to a tree. It might take you 4 or 5 years, but eventually it's going to grow something. Maybe an apple, maybe an orange, but that thing will tell you what it is. We're just doing some just basic science tonight. And we're doing some philosophy. We're going to be looking at Occam's razor, all right? Just a philosophical principle, right? Another name of it is the principle of parsimony, all right? It says searching for an answer usually using the smallest amount of evidence. In other words, sometimes the simplest answer is probably just the right one. So we're going to get into that tonight. This is the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. This show is being sponsored by you. Sponsors of the show on Patreon and on the YouTube membership. I appreciate all your support. We do have two new Patreons over at patreon.com who joined recently. Got to shout them out. That is David M. and Catherine M. I don't use the whole last names. That's their business. But appreciate you becoming sponsors of the show. You did a whole year membership. And it's really easy to become a sponsor of the show. It's only like on YouTube. I think it's like $1.99 a month. I think over at Patreon, there's a $2 and the $10. Different perks with both. If you come over and you do Patreon, right, you get access over at St. Dominic's Media. So you get a lifetime membership. You become a hound of heaven forever, which gives you access to all of our courses. And so then that's St. Dominic's Media. So, but if you do the YouTube membership, you get access to all my members only videos. It's approaching 200 of them. I've been on YouTube since 2010. Said a lot of really cool things, wonderful things. So if you want access to everything I used to say, anything I probably said. So I make all my videos members only after about 5 or 6 months, except for the ones that are like high demand videos. So that's the perks. And so I appreciate all you. And those who are not members, I still appreciate you. Thanks for the likes, the shares, the subs, the leaving me reviews over on iTunes, all your prayers and everything. I'll be home next week, right? I'll be at the Coalition for Canceled Priests conference. I'll be giving a speech there. So I look forward to seeing a lot of you who I haven't seen in a while. So let's get into the show.
Hovering over the skies of a post-Christian society, we have spotted a man with a donut in one hand and rosary beads in another.
Child, I'm about to whoop Satan's behind.
He is boldly proclaiming truth and reason like no rigid Catholic ever has before. The David L. Gray Show begins now.
We are streaming live on YouTube, on Rumble, on the Twitter, on the have backup copies on Odyssey. So thanks for coming in, everyone, to the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. We all got some comments rolling in already. From the preface of the show, Brianna sent, well, there you have it. Yeah, he's been Jesuit-y. That doesn't that alone explain it. Yeah, he could be. He just could be just doing what Jesuits do, right? All right, and of course, you're going to have that one person, right, that hops in the comment box and says, oh, I know a good Jesuit, you know, Father, I don't know, Mitch Pacwa or this person. You know, listen, every corrections officer in a prison will tell you there's a couple good inmates, right? Everywhere you go, there's going to be a couple good guys. There's going to be a couple good atheists here and there. We're not even saying that. We're just talking about the culture in general. Jesuits do what Jesuits do. Jeep guy saying, wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. The young prodigal, maybe the enemy is winning. It seems he has many of us quite distracted. Instead of praying and fasting for our enemies, we make and watch videos about them, commenting for what purpose. That's a good point. Adam Authority's in, one of our favorite hounds of heaven. Good evening, David, and the rest of the house. Yeah, so maybe he's gay. Maybe Pope Francis is gay, right? I think that will explain a lot of things, right? You know, people say, oh, David, this is why you don't have a radio show anymore. You're always saying the quiet part out loud. But what if it's true? What if it's true? I think we're just out of options. So this came out June 14th, 2023. It came out that Pope Francis has written another letter to Jesuit Jamie Martin. So what's going on? Apparently, that there's some sort of Skittle outreach conference that's coming up. It's a 3-day meeting set to be held June 16th, 17th, and 18th. At New York's Fordham University. University which used to be Catholic, you know. Brian Massengale is there, you know, all the Skittles teach there. It's a mecca of the Skittle Catholicdom, right? So it says they're going to consider a wide range of issues concerning, check this out, how the Bible speaks of homosexuality. This is some of the things that they're discussing at this conference of the Skittle outreach that's going to be held at Fordham this weekend. How the Bible speaks of homosexuality. I think it's pretty clear, right? Abomination, depraved behavior, sinful. Okay. All right. But you know, Jamie Martin, he's writing a whole Bible contextualizing all that stuff, right? They're also discussing how a church should minister with whatchamacallit Catholics. Whatchamacallit. You've heard of transubstantiation, right? There's another trans that, you know, here we call whatchamacallit. It's not even real. There's no such thing as changing your gender. That's not even a thing. All right. So, but they're going to say, how should a church minister with whatchamacallit Catholics? And how to raise Skittle children in the faith. That's the discussing. How to raise, you have a Skittle child, whatever that is. You got a child that thinks they're, you know, they're 5 years old. They don't even know how to wipe well when they go to the bathroom, but apparently they know that, you know, they're a sexual deviant already. And so how to raise a Skittle in the faith. I think it's pretty easy. All right. Tell them the truth about who they are, who they're created to be. But this is where they're discussing. So Pope Francis, he writes a letter to Jamie Martin, who is one of the organizers of the events. And Francis asks the priest to send his best regards to the participants of the meeting and assures that they're in my prayers and good wishes. You are, and all who work at the outreach conference. So he issues this letter of support that you see on the screen to this conference. Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York has also wrote a letter welcoming this conference. So keynote speakers, you got just a bunch of strange people. So this is what's going on. So it's one thing for Cardinal Timothy Dolan to write a letter, right? I mean, we know where Cardinal Timothy Dolan is at, right? He's been marching in Skittle Pride parades, right? We know where he's at, right? It's one thing for him to issue a letter of support to some sort of conference that's in his diocese, right? We sort of expect that, right? We expect that out of Dolan, right? We know he's Skittle or Skittle friendly, okay? But now we have Pope Francis, the Pope of the Universal Church, of the Catholic Church, the successors of Christ, the successor of, I'm sorry, of Peter. He's what, a 266th Pope. The Vicar of Christ on Earth, a title which he doesn't like, sending a personal letter, handwritten letter, to the organizers of this conference, his Jesuit brother, James Martin, supporting this. What's going on? I mean, Pope Francis just must be gay, right? I just think when you go so hard in the paint, for stuff like this for no reason. I mean, this is like an unforced error. He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to get us riled up. But when you see someone just so passionate, going so hard for something, like going hard in the paint, right? Like basketball players, you know, you got the painted area underneath the rim. Right? You can only be in there for like 3 seconds in a basketball game. But you see like big centers like Shaquille O'Neal, right? They'll go what we call hard in the paint. You know, they'll back their man down, back him down, and dunk on them, right? Going hard in the paint. When you see that from people, you have to wonder, like, why are they so passionate about this? Like mothers who go to mothers against drunk driving meetings. How did they become so passionate about that? People outside of pro-life centers during counseling and protesting. People from killing their baby. How did they get so passionate about that? Usually, you're somehow personally affected by this. Somehow you identify very personally with what's going on. Maybe Pope Francis is just gay. Maybe that explains his passion for the subject, right? Again, I'm not doing theology here. Let's just follow the science. Let's just do some philosophy. Okay. Now, this wasn't Pope Francis, his first letter to James Martin about homosexuality. He wrote another one back in January of this year. Remember, it came out that he had done the interview about criminalizing how in some countries homosexuality is being criminalized. And he has said in the interview that that homosexuality is a sin, right? And so then he writes a letter to James Martin. James Martin wrote a letter to him first, asking for clarification. And then Pope Francis sends another handwritten letter back and tries to explain himself. Like, when I said it was a sin, I was simply referring to the Catholic moral teaching. Like, he has to justify himself that he called it a sin. You know, I've said, according to Catholic moral teaching, which says that every sexual encounter outside of the act of marriage is a sin. Of course, one should also consider the circumstances which may decrease or eliminate fault. As you can see, I was repeating something in general. I should have said it is a sin as is a sexual act outside of marriage. This is to speak of the matter of the sin, but we all know well that Catholic morality not only takes into consideration the matter, but also evaluates the freedom. So he has to contextualize the fact that he spoke the truth, right? His Jesuit brother, Jamie Martin, writes him again, like, Pope Francis, what did you mean when you called it a sin? Again, another unforced error. He could just say, it's a sin. He could just left it at that. He didn't have to get into the culpability of how some people may be committing homosexual acts without full knowledge, or their conscience may not be fully developed. He didn't really have to get into all that. Maybe he's just gay, right? Like, we know James Martin is gay. I mean, he's gay as like every song that the Village People ever made. Every song they ever made. He's that gay. He's that much of a Skittle. But let's follow the science, man. Let's just take a look at the science. All right. So Aristotle, who was a, you know, early scientist, right? Pre-Christ. He believed that if you, like I said, if you observe a thing long enough, that thing will tell you what it is, what it was created to do. Occam's razor, like I said, it is the simplest answer is probably the right answer. All right. So we look at Pope Francis, if we just observe him, you know, he's been Pope since March of 2013. Let's just look at a couple of things he said, right? He started off his papacy, like I said, but not just 4 months later, he's on an airplane. They're asking about gay priest or something like that. And he comes out and saying, who am I to judge? If they accept the Lord and have goodwill, who am I to judge them? Even before that, as Archbishop of Argentina, he was for civil unions. You know, there's some stuff there that maybe suggests that he was just, you know, compromising. That was maybe the compromise that was that issue there. You know, in Argentina, they really wanted these civil unions for gays. And he knew there was no way out. But rather than gay marriage for people of same-sex attraction, he was saying, well, maybe civil unions is the middle ground, right? But either way, as Archbishop, he's for people of the same gender marrying. When he came to the United States, he met with a lady in Kentucky. Her name was Kim Davis. I think she was some sort of attorney general or something like that. Or maybe she's a clerk of courts in some court, and she wasn't issuing marriage licenses to people of the same gender. So one of the Pope's inside people arranged a meeting, which Pope Francis was not happy about at all. And he's very hostile to Kim Davis, who just did not believe that people of the same gender should marry. He's very hostile to her, unnecessarily so. And he was not happy at all with his handlers who arranged that meeting. Pope Francis has written many letters to whatchamacallits. And report is that at the Vatican, he meets with whatchamacallits on a regular basis. Meets with them on a regular basis, affirming their whatchamacallitness. Like I said, sometimes Pope Francis is a mixed bag. Sometimes he says, oh, the whole gender theory is demonic. Other times he's against, like I said, skittle marriage. But other times, as he told some Italian parents of skittle children, that God loves your children as they are. He told parents of skittles that God loves your children as they are, because he truly believes that people are biologically born that way, that they're born with same-sex attraction. And he also said that the church loves your children as they are, because they are children of God, just as they are, as skittles. It's like, parents, you don't have to do anything with your children. You don't have to help form their conscience. You don't have to tell them that they're wrong. Just leave them as they are. They're fine. So if we just look at Pope Francis long enough, just over the last 13 years, there's just a lot of stuff there to suggest that something is wrong with this guy. Something's wrong with this guy. And it's interesting that, you know, we give Pope Francis the benefit of the doubt. Even though he's a Jesuit, you probably shouldn't give him the benefit of doubt. I mean, chances are, yeah, he's probably has same-sex attraction or very friendly to the idea of being open to same-sex attraction. He's a Jesuit. They openly recruit, and for decades, maybe a century, has openly recruited skittles. But we give him the benefit of the doubt, right? I mean, no one wants to think that the Pope is a skittle. That's kind of uncomfortable, even though we probably had him in the past. It's just uncomfortable. We don't want to really go there. But we don't have that same benefit of the doubt when it comes to other people, do we? Such as the U.S. presidents. So I want to take a look at Pope Francis. Take a look at some of the evidence that we have that suggests that this guy he goes a little bit hard for the whole skittle agenda. He makes what we think are unforced errors, but maybe they're just intentional. But I think there's more evidence. This is just that he's probably just gay. There's more evidence that Pope Francis is than we look at the evidence of a number of presidents that we had recently that are very engaged, that go very hard for the Skittles. Let me take a look at your comments. This is David L. Gray Show. Amathoria says, I don't know if he's a Skittle, but we can rule out that he's a robot in disguise. That's a good one. Julie says, Julie is like, she's not even, she's like, this is old news. Why am I even watching this show? Like, you think? Valerius says, maybe the Pope is, maybe the Pope Fran is gay. Sounds like the simplest explanation to me. And that, in a way, is a battle the enemy has won. I mean, imagine that, though. I mean, I don't think he is like the, would be the first gay Pope or the first Pope who has same-sex attraction or is very open to it, is very friendly with it. I don't think he's the first Pope. Like, hey, I think playing in poop with your penis is like normal behavior. Probably not. But man, yeah, I think you're right. Brandon said they haven't figured out. Anthony Maggie says maybe he's a Freemason and is the pinnacle of Freemasonry infiltration. Freemasons are very much against, people don't notice that Freemasons are very much against homosexuality. When I was a Freemason, you would get what do they call it? You would have charges of un-Masonic conduct filed against you in open lodge if you were caught in homosexuality, right? Freemasons are very much pro-family. You find very few Grand Masters who don't have a wife and kids, right? They're very traditional when it comes to family. You know, I knew this guy, definitely a gay guy. You know, I caught him one time. You know, he came to speak at our conference. And I went to his hotel room to pay him for speaking at the conference. And had a boy in there. He opened the door. I saw a boy jumping on the bed. And his father was a high, you know, he's a Freemason that was notable. And I knew that if that had gotten out, you know, he would be toast. So, no, I don't. Freemason, homosexuality is antithetical to the principles of Freemasonry, which is really weird. So that's probably not it. Maggie Ward said Fordham doesn't even have a priest as a president anymore. It's a woman who sends out emails praising pagan religions. Yeah. Michael says, all I know is that the Holy Father is not a lizard man. Oh my gosh. This is an interesting. Where is the letter in support for our faithful Catholics? No support for you. Shut down the TLM in tradition loving faithful, God loving faithful. Nope. And that's a good point Brianna makes. I mean, where's Pope Francis' letter for the conference coming up for the Coalition for Council Priests? Where's that letter of support? Where's the letter of support to when the Catholics, the CIC, what is that? The whatever that stands for, when they meet, that traditional group. That, man, that's a brilliant point. Margaret Mary says, yeah, who are we to judge? Yeah. I'm not even being judgmental here. I'm taking a scientific approach. Let's take a scientific approach to this whole thing. If the evidence says, yeah, same-sex attraction, it just is. We're not applying any judgment because we can't judge, right? All right. So this is David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. So as I said, I think we give Pope Francis the benefit of the doubt. I do. We give him the benefit of doubt that we don't give to, like, U.S. presidents. So there's been four presidents that have three presidents. Clinton, Obama, Trump, and Biden. That's four. Who have officially declared Pride Month. So the whole Pride Month thing in June, you know, that the reason why it's June, they get the most interesting month. They get to try to usurp the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, because I guess that's when the Stonewall riots occurred in 1969. So this is in commemoration of that. So four U.S. presidents have said, okay, June is like, has declared it a Pride Month on like official White House letterhead. The first was President Bill Clinton. He declared June Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. So he declared it Skittles, and he declared it Sodomy and Scissors. Sodomites and Scissors Pride Month. All right. He did not have all the other letters in there, just Sodomites and Scissors. That was in 1999. Now we kind of understood where Bill Clinton was at, right? We understood that Bill was just kind of freaky, right? This is 99. It's well after like the whole Monica Lewinsky thing. Epstein probably already had this picture of Bill Clinton at his house. So we already knew that Bill Clinton was just a little bit freaky, right? We knew he's just off. We knew that about him. We also knew just something was off about his relationship with Hillary Clinton. It seemed just kind of business-esque. It seemed like just some sort of business relationship they had. They didn't seem very affectionate. They really didn't seem like much of a couple. And it all just kind of made sense, right? When we found out who Chelsea's biological father is, right? It's this person that Hillary used to have was her business partner, Webster Hubbell was his name, right? And, you know, once we saw Webster Hubbell and we saw pictures of, you know, the older Chelsea got, the more she looked like her biological father, right? And so we knew something's freaky going on with them, right? And so we knew this very early on, that there's something really freaky, you know? Like, Bill's kind of nasty. Now, we didn't even know about Epstein Island yet. So, but we knew that, okay, Bill, it took a whole month and said, hey, it's Sodomite and Scissor Month. And we said, okay, Bill's freaky. He's nasty. He probably think that that's normal behavior, because the stuff that him and Hillary are involved with, right? Whatever they did with Chelsea and this Webster Hubbell person, I don't know if that was arranged. I don't know if Hillary cheated, whatever. But we knew that Chelsea's daddy was Webster Hubbell. So we knew Bill's a freak. They're weird. So it made sense, right? That he would declare June officially Sodomite in Scissor Month. So we knew Bill. We didn't say he was gay, but we knew that, hey, he's freaky. He's probably open to that type of freaky stuff based upon his history. It made perfect sense. So when it comes to Pope Francis, we're like, he does all this stuff, but we don't just come to the same conclusion. as we do with Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, right? Now, we knew Obama was like Skittle. Now, we knew about this in college that, you know, he wrote his girlfriend a letter saying, hey, you know, I'm gay. No, but I'm not going to really pursue gay relationships with men because they're really not challenging. It's more challenging to pursue women. The relationship that he had with his gay professor, we seen a way that he kind of like, he's just, you know, he's just really effeminate, right? The way he carries himself, always crossing his legs. We knew him about his Reggie Love, their gay relationship. We knew about all the gay relationships that Obama had in Chicago and all the men who had relationships ended up dead. That was another similarity that the Obamas had with Clinton. Everybody who Obama had a gay relationship with either ended up dead or it just kind of like disappeared. Right? It kind of paid him off, like that actor that, you know, he had like a gay relationship with. We knew Barack Obama was a Skittle. We knew that. So when he comes out in 2016 and, well, pretty much every year after 2009, every year from 2009, 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16, each year that he was in office, he declared June LGBT Pride Month. He has the other two letters. Bill Clinton, remember, was just sodomites and scissors. Barack Obama is the one as bisexual and transgender. And it made sense. I mean, why did it make sense that he would add bisexual and transgender? Well, obviously, he's bisexual. He goes both ways. And also, we knew that, you know, he's, you know, das dunkle Yin auf dem Rücken, married to a transgender person.
Ms. Rivers, how are you? You made a ton of news right. Officiating the wedding in New York yesterday. Is this like a new cottage career move for you?
I am so excited. Okay. And I should do very well because I don't charge.
And do you think that the country will see the United States will see the first gay president or the first woman president?
We already have it with Obama, so let's just calm down.
Got it.
You know Michelle is a trans.
I'm sorry, she's a what?
A transgender. We all know.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh. It's okay. She doesn't.
Yeah, so we knew that it made sense, right? Why Barack Obama would add the B and the T? He's bisexual. He's married to his transgender. He's looking out for himself. Like I said, when people are so passionate about something, like Obama was so passionate about Skittles, remember he changed the law in the military that you didn't have. It was used to be don't ask, don't tell. He changed that. He makes it okay for people in the military to get. He's like the gay president. He makes gay normal in the United States. He goes to a historically black university and tells these black men, I think it's Morehouse. And he says, we got to stop in a black community. We got to stop making gay not cool. Right. I mean, he Obama goes harder for the Skittles. Harder for the Skittles than any president, probably any president of any country in the history of this world, but it makes sense. He's gay. He's bisexual. His wife is a transgender. We know that. That's not even a secret. And another thing they have in common with the Clintons, everyone knows that Sasha and Malia are not their daughters. They're the daughters of the Nesbitts. We don't know how it happened. We don't know if it was like in vitro or whether it was surrogacy. But Sasha and Malia are the kids of the Nesbitts. The Nesbitts are close friends of theirs. They look just like their biological parents. So Obama and the Clintons, they got this. They're alike. People die, right? Everyone who gets close to them dies when they find out the secrets, and their kids are not their kids, right? So again, when Obama makes the whole Skittle month, Lima Golf Bravo Tango, when he makes that a thing, hey, it's Obama. He's freaky. Right? They're weird. It made perfect sense. All right. Then we get the President Trump. Then we get the President Trump, right? Now, he became the first Republican president to acknowledge Lima Golf Bravo Tango Pride Month in 2019. But he did so through a tweet rather than official proclamation. The tweet was later released as an official statement from the president, right? So we can't really say that Trump went hard for the Skittles. You know, he didn't. He's open to it. I mean, he's had Skittle weddings at Mar-a-Lago. You know, he doesn't fly the Skittle pride flag or anything like that. But on a scale of 1 to 10, he's not a 0. He's probably a 5. Right? He could probably go either way. He's freaky. He has sex with porn stars, you know, loose women. He's a little freaky. But Biden, again, he's just like the Clintons and Obamas. He may not have bodies. People may not die. But man, his son, Hunter, child porn, pedophile, smoking crack. You get Ashley Biden in the diary that she wrote. We know that she wrote. You can find it online. I did a video about it. You see it over at Rumble. In Ashley Biden's diary, she says, Dad used to shower with me. May have molested me. Biden's a freak. His dad, apparently, you know, he becomes you know, a little bit different. Like, we knew Obama in Chicago. Obama had memberships to gay bathhouses. Memberships to gay bathhouses. We know about this. Biden's not really freaky in that way. Like, he doesn't leave the paper trail other than his, you know, the diary from his daughter saying he, you know, may have molested her. But man, you know, he steals his wife from another man. He says he becomes gay friendly when he's a kid and his father's struck and they see two men kiss on the street and his father say, love is love. All right. If that story is true, which is probably not, but if it is true, this just whole moral bankruptcy and sexual deviancy and just nastiness. It's been in his family for a long time. So Obama was the first gay president. Joe Biden is the first transgender president. He goes very hard in the paint. He goes very hard for the whatchamacallits. So again, whenever you see someone super passionate about something, deeply invested in something, somehow they either are that thing or they want to be that thing, or is that something that you really see? Like the time when Krispy Kreme opened up a donut shop in my neighborhood. I mean, look at me in this picture. This is me in the middle of the night, ecstatic and happy that I'm the 23rd person in line, which means I'm going to get free donuts for a year. People don't go hard in the paint like this for donuts, unless they're like a donut. Unless they like love donuts, man. You don't do this. It was freezing that night. Look at me. Look, I'm like an Eskimo and I'm smiling. It's like 15 degrees in Columbus, Ohio. In the middle of winter. And I'm out there in line, camped out for donuts. You don't go that hard for something unless you love it. So when we take a look at the presidents, man, they take a look at all the presidents, Clinton, Obama, Biden, why do they go that hard for sexual deviancy? Because they're sexual deviants. Because they're sexual deviants. That's why they go so hard for sexual deviancy, because they're sexual deviants. We have to apply the same logic to Pope Francis. This is just from Aristotle. If you look at a thing long enough, that thing will tell you what it is. We looked at Bill Clinton. We knew he's a sexual deviant. So sodomite and scissor month made sense. We looked at Barack Obama, his membership of gay bathhouses, all the other weird stuff. People, all his gay lovers dying or getting paid off. His children, that's not his. Him saying that he was gay. We looked at the thing long enough and it told us what it was. Obama's a sexual deviant. Joe Biden. We've been knowing Joe Biden for like 50 years. A couple of things we can say about Joe Biden. One, he's a racist. Two, he's morally bankrupt. Three, he's a sexual deviant. That's why he goes hard for sexual deviancies. He's a sexual deviant. That's why he's a transgender president. Obama is the gay president. Clinton's the sexual deviancy, just nasty president. He just got it all covered. We have to apply the same logic to Pope Francis. For 10 years, we've been watching him say thing after thing after thing in support of sexual deviancy. Unnecessarily so. He didn't have to do any of this. He didn't have to write these letters. But he does. Why does he go so hard for this? Why is he so passionate for this? Why does he want everyone to know that he's all in for sexual deviancy? He's a sexual deviant. He's probably gay. I'm not here saying that he's like not the Pope. I'm not saying he's not the Pope. He is. Everyone who was at the council and voted for him, nobody's recanted their vote. He's a Pope. He's like the elected Pope. So I'm not with, you know, Patrick Coffin, who are like, I like Patrick Coffin, I like a lot. I don't know about these other guys, Mozart. I don't know them. You know, all the people who say Pope Benedict was the last Pope. I'm not on board with those guys. I think Pope Francis is the duly elected Pope. All right. And it's weird that my friend Patrick Coffin, he says that Pope Francis isn't a Pope based upon one piece of evidence, the interpretation of Pope Benedict's resignation letter. When at the same time, I talked to Patrick Coffin on Twitter quite often about UFOs. And I'm like, look, man, here's the evidence. We've had this evidence for thousands of years. Peace, 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 peace. And I'm not saying that you have these aerial phenomenons or UFOs are like out from out of the planet. You know, I'm all for like mer people, some sort of intelligent life that's smarter than us that lives somewhere else on the planet that we don't know about. Maybe that's why all these UFOs and UAPs happen around water. Maybe that's why. But there's like mountains of evidence that these aerial phenomenons are not from human beings. Just mountains of evidence. But Patrick Coffin is always like, no, it's fiction. It's not real. Dude, you have one piece of evidence that Pope Benedict didn't resign. So no, I'm not with Patrick Coffin. He's not a scientist. Here, we're just following the evidence. So Pope Francis, he's Pope. He's probably the worst Pope in the history of Popedom. But he's Pope. I don't know if he's like really in the Petrine ministry. I don't know if he's really a successor of Peter in that sense, because he doesn't do the job of the Petrine ministry. The Petrine ministry just has three duties. One, to proclaim the truth. We know that because the first promise that Peter made, the first proclamation was that, or the first confession that Jesus, first confession that Peter makes, was that you are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. First confession he makes, you are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. So that becomes a duty of a Pope based upon the confessions of Peter. That's the first one. The second confession of Peter that's made about Peter from Jesus, this is the second confession, is that I have prayed for you that you may turn back and strengthen your brothers. So the second duty to Pope is to be a source of unity for the bishops. Pope Francis is not a source of unity. He's a source of division for the popes. And he's not proclaimed the authentic gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's two duties he doesn't fulfill based upon Peter's two confessions. The third confession that Peter makes is when Jesus asks him, "Do you love me?" Peter confesses it three times, "I love you." In those three confessions, Jesus gives him a job to do, gives him his third duty, to shepherd the sheep of God. Pope Francis doesn't do that. He's not even a good shepherd. So no, Pope Francis is not in the ministry of Peter, but somehow, yes, he's the duly elected Pope, right? And he's gay. And he's a sexual deviant. How do we know that? Because the evidence says it. Philosophy says it. Occam Razor says it. It's the simplest conclusion to the facts. He's a sexual deviant. He's probably gay. Science says it. Just look at the thing long enough. We looked at Pope Francis for 13 years or 10 years. This is the evidence. That's science. The evidence says that he's a sexual deviant. He's too passionate about this. It doesn't make any sense. Pope Francis is probably gay. And people are out here struggling, trying to figure out, why does he do what he does? Why does he say what he does? Occam's razor, man. He's gay. We don't even have to wonder about it anymore. I think the case is closed. Science and philosophy confirms it. He's probably gay. Let me get to your comments and we'll get out of here. Where did I leave off? And he says, according to Francis, there are no sins. That's convenient. Admiral 30 says, the Pope Francis come out against the Dodgers. Where's that letter of support to the people who are protesting that whole thing? Where's the handwritten letter? We don't have it. And Bernard says, we need a Pope who's for Catholics. And he says, I have a sign on my porch window that says June is devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Yeah, that's beautiful. Where is the Pope's letter praising the works of Courage International, praising support of their summer conference? Man, these are some great comments tonight. Yeah, where's that handwritten letter? Where's that handwritten letter to these people who are just, you know, finishing up my, I've been doing a series on the Catechism of Catholic Church. I just wrote the script for the Sacrament of Penance and Reconciliation. I was surprised studying that section again, how often it uses the word struggle. It says struggle more than it says probably any other word, struggle. Like, Christ knows, and the church knows, through Christ and Holy Spirit, that this life can have its struggles. And I think what courage is doing, it acknowledges that people have struggles. Like we all, you know, most people, I guess most of us have something that, you know, that keeps tapping on our shoulder. All of us maybe have some sort of temptation that we have to struggle against. And I love that courage supports men and women who acknowledge that, man, I have a struggle with same-sex attraction. And I need help. But Pope Francis doesn't write a letter to them because he wants to support the people who want to think that that stuff is normal behavior. It's disturbing. And he says, I don't think Clinton is gay. He's always been a womanizer. Yeah. I think he's a sexual deviant, that's for sure. Who knows what he's doing on Epstein Island? I mean, who knows? Yeah, I don't think he gets erections from men. Probably not. But he's a sexual deviant, that's for sure. Happy birthday, Brianna. And he says, Obama is gay. Michelle is actually Manchel. And the daughters were borrowed for the campaign to make them look like a regular family. Yeah. Add another one in there. Barack Obama was not born in the United States. He's a Kenyan or an Indian. It's so many problems. The amazing thing about Obama was just like how protected he was. He was the first, that was really the first time we weren't allowed to ask questions. Remember, Hillary brings up the whole thing about his birth certificate. His brother says he was born in Kenya. His own brother. All the people who were murdered, all his gay lovers that were murdered in Chicago. I think 2 or 3 black men. It's crazy. Yeah, and Joan Rivers, after she tells this truth that Obama is gay and Michelle is a transgender, yeah, she dies like 3 months later. Obamas and the Clintons have more bodies than John Gotti. And he says, yeah, Biden is a fake Catholic for sure. That entire family is corrupt. Man. And nothing's going to happen to him either. Nothing happens to him. Brian says, priorities. I don't fault you on the donuts. people really love those donuts. You know, the Krispy Kreme isn't a donut. It's fried yeast with sugar, right? It isn't a donut. It's sugar with some fried yeast underneath, right? That's not a donut. You ever had a real donut? Like in Indianapolis, you know, they got Long's Donuts. I think Columbus got a lot of good donut places. I know Seattle, Washington, and Portland has good donut places. You know the difference between a real donut and a Krispy Kreme? If you do, you don't call Krispy Kreme a donut, right? And in real life, it's not. Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, that's a good saying. When if someone shows you, tells you who they are, believe them, right? Listen to them. Listen to him. Pope Francis has been telling us that he's gay. He's been saying it just like Jamie Martin. We know he's gay. Pope Francis has been telling us he's gay for like 10 years. Come on, man. It's not that hard. Martha Mary says, if it walks like a Skittle, talks like a Skittle, it's probably a Skittle. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was just kind of hoping for the Smurfs thing in my backyard. Hope the Smurfs aren't real, man. How about Smurfs Aren't Real? Because I used to have a thing for Smurfette. She was hot. With her blonde hair, a little blue body, little white dress. Nothing better than a Smurfette. I'm glad to see you're doing well, David. Francis is the perfect example of wisdom in a story about the king who had no clothes. Most Catholics don't want to admit he's likely a Skittle, despite the signs. Yeah, that is so true, Pink. It's so true. I think a lot of Catholics, I don't know, I won't say a lot, but I think a number of Catholics, you know, because I've been around, like some of you, I've been in different states, been in different cities, you know, I've been to a lot of parishes more than once. I've met quite a number of Skittle priests. And my experience is that if you have a Skittle priest, the parishioners know. You know when your pastor is a Skittle. You know. No one brings it up. No one talks about it. It's the quiet part no one says out loud. But you just know when Father's a Skittle, right? And it's not like a huge deal because we know probably 80% of priests are Skittles. But, you know, you just hope and you pray that, man, maybe he's suffering through this. Maybe he's persevering. Maybe this is just his personal struggle that he's trying to get through. All right. And oftentimes, you know, off these parishes, they don't have the sodomite and scissor outreach. They aren't trying to stack the deck and fill the church up with a bunch of Skittles, but with these little outreach committees that they have in all these churches. That's all it is. Any church that has a Skittle outreach, a sodomite and scissor outreach committee, ministry, all they're doing is they're trying to turn the parish. They're trying to stack the deck, right? Like Father Hellnaw said. That's all they're doing. But sometimes sometimes, you know, Father who, you know, everyone knows he's, you know, he's a little sweet under the collar, right? Sometimes they don't even do that. Sometimes they do, right? So Pope Francis is really not a lot of different than that. These people are around. But what we hope is that they don't act out on it. And that's what we hope and pray for. Pope Francis has been acting out on it for like 10 years now, like on a global level. He's like the bad priest that you have in the parish. The one with the LG, with the Skittle Outreach Committee, the one that marches in parades. He's that priest. And that's the unfortunate thing. If he was just like a Skittle and didn't like act out on it, we'd be like, okay, we see these guys all the time. But he acts out on it, which is that's what makes us angry. It doesn't really make us angry to have a priest who's a Skittle. It's quite common. What makes us angry is that he acts out on it. And he says, we're living in another Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, I think that's true. Man, kind of sucks to be there though, right? Michael says, if you twist your head around long enough, then anything and everything happening in this day and age would make sense. Laura says, something is wrong with us. Amathoria says, I used to think Michelle Stiles was horrible because Michelle's clothes never fitted her well. And then I heard Joan River. Like, Amathoria is trying to put her finger in, like, why does her traps, why are they so big? What is that lump underneath her? around her way. And she said, didn't it make sense? Oh, man. Oh, sister said, yeah, long. So, yeah. So you live in Indy. Yeah. 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 When I come home, oh, am I going? I probably won't even go that way. I want to try to, though. Man, I really want some of those long donuts. Yeah, there you go. There's another one. Francis permitting Biden to keep receiving. That's a whole different issue. But it's still in the same, it's still the same trick bag. Same trick bag. Emma Thor is a serious question. Would a church allow transformers into the seminaries? Man, you have to wonder about that. Like, it would seem to be the case that in some states, they would either have to or they're going to have to shut down their seminaries. Like some of these states that truly recognize or truly say in their law that those who identify as women are women, that they don't make a distinction between those who are mentally women versus those who are biologically women. In states like that, it would seem that if the church doesn't let the transformers or the whatchamacallits into the seminary may have to shut down. It would be just like adoption agencies who did not want to give children or have Skittles adopt children. Remember, those adoption agencies had to shut down unless they got into that business of giving children over to child abusers. Right. And we know they're child abusers now, right? Because we see them at these parades and doing strange things with their children. So seminaries might have to shut down in some of these states. And that may be a good thing. KP Jack says Pope Francis is Christ vicar, but he's not Christ. The appearance of papal approval isn't synonymous of Christ approval. Yeah. Someone tells Slim Jim Martin he may want to be on Christ's side. Now these people don't even care about hell, right? They don't even care about hell. The act of contrition, right? Eternal Father, forgive me, right? Because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell, but most of all, because I fear you, my God, who are good and living, deserving all my love. Jimmy Martin hears that. He's like, what? The pains of hell? Who? He doesn't fear the pains of hell. He has neither perfect contrition or imperfect contrition. Get out of here, right? And he says, Manchel always showed off his arms by wearing. Yeah. If a thing tells you what it is, if you just observe a thing long enough, again, Aristotle's rule. If you just observe Michelle long enough, you know Obama's married to a man. I mean, you just know. You just know. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, seminaries need to complete medical exams prior to entering it. Yeah, because nowadays you can actually change your birth certificate in some states. Is that happening in the United States yet, or is that just other countries? I don't know, but it might be other countries. Maybe United States. I don't know, but I know some places you can actually change your gender on your birth certificate. I think that's England for sure, in the UK. So, yeah, medical examinations. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I'm bringing up, doesn't the First Amendment away that concerning its clause for religious freedom? Maybe, right? Maybe. Or does that amendment to the Constitution? So there's a rub there, right, with the Constitution, where in its equal protection clauses, that you can't discriminate against people based upon, you know, age, race, sex, gender, and people want to include transgenders into that whole thing. So there may be a rub there. So it's going to be interesting, because you know it's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to happen. Anyway, we're way past time. This is the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. So I think that's it for the week. I got a reflection on the readings of Mass coming out probably tomorrow or Saturday. And then I will be back next week for one or two shows. And then that's all I know about that for now. But I appreciate you guys tuning in. Thanks for everyone who came into the live. I deeply appreciate you. Love you. Thanks for being my friends. Thank you for all your comments and support. Had a great time with you tonight. And yeah, let's get out of here. But blessings and peace to you and to yours.